FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
And just to add to Fox News, this just came down. 1 million households without electricity in Ukraine after Russian strikes. Ukrainian drone attack killing two in Russia as millions in Ukraine lose power. And I tell you what, we have been kissing Russia's ass so much. I can taste the vodka. It comes out in the sweat in on them. No, it does.
John, they're eating breakfast.
No, they're eating pizza. Right. Hear that seg there, Craig, huh? Garibaldi's.
Yes, I did.
Is here with owner Mark Claypool and his number one server bartender, Slade, at Garibaldi's, what used to be Garibaldi's Ristorante Italiano, has changed, I guess, to Garibaldi's Italian Steakhouse. Is that right, Mark? Hello. Yeah. Good morning.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Yes, it has changed, but it's still the same restaurant that it's been all these years. And I'd like to thank Carson City for giving me 31 years, and we're still going.
Mark, who's Garibaldi?
He was a man from Italy. He rejoined the churches in Italy, and he saved Italy. Otherwise, it may have never been there anymore.
Oh, that's cool. And how did it begin for you? You're thankful. You're thankful to Carson City for keeping you open for 30 years.
Yes, I am.
How did it all begin? Was being a chef always in the plan?
Yeah, that's what I've done. I've worked restaurants, and I bought the restaurant for some people I worked with in Tahoe, and then I came down here.
You worked at Tahoe restaurants?
Yes.
Is Tahoe still a great place for good restaurants?
Oh, yeah. Tahoe's a great place for everything. That's why we live here.
What the heck happened to Tepp's Villa Roma at South Lake? It closed, I think, last year.
They tried to sell, as far as I know, and then that fell apart. So those things happen in this business.
Oh, yeah. Well, I really miss it. I really enjoyed the salad bar. You say these things happen in this business. It's got to be the toughest business there is.
Oh, it's tough.
You know, I'd like to know the secret of your success because, as you brought up there, Mark, the Bureau of Labor Statistics says up to 30% of restaurants close in their first year, 50% fail within 5 years, and roughly about 65% of restaurants fail within 10 years. What is the biggest mistake that so many restaurants make?
I can't really make a call on that because I've been successful in every restaurant that I've been in. And so when I used to work up at Tahoe, I won Best Taste of Tahoe my first year at Cafe Fiore. And after 4 years, I came down here and took over Garibaldi's and still going.
And you're known for things. You know, the Carson Valley Steakhouse, they're known for the football baked potato. you're known, you know what I hear about Garibaldi's is the huge meatballs.
And the garlic bread.
And the lasagna.
What makes those different?
It's just love. Putting love into it.
no secrets are being revealed.
I think that is the biggest secret. My grandpa used to tell me all the time that one of the biggest secrets of my dish is that I love putting out food and my love is in it.
Oh, that's Slade there.
Yeah, that's Slade.
Now, wait a minute.
We kind of sound alike.
Is Slade in the kitchen too? I thought he was your server bartender.
He does serving and he does kitchen. He comes back and works with me at times, so... we both have done everything in the restaurant. So,
listen, I've spent most of my life in Nevada, and I know that you brought downtown Carson City back for restaurants. I remember there was a time it was just the two casino restaurants downtown. That's all we had. We and then you
and we had Adele's. We had Adele's.
you got Adele's. Okay, I can make a list of Carson City restaurants that we lost. I mean, the Bonanza, although that's still going at Glen Eagles.
Right.
We lost Enrico's, the Golden Dragon, Heidi's, Adele's, Heiss's Steak and Seafood.
Oh, yeah, they were around the corner.
I know, yeah. Thurman's Ranch House, and you have... You're still going 30 years at downtown Carson City. I do think it's really interesting that your website, Mark, says dine in only, which is interesting. Why only dine in? There's no pickups, no deliveries, what?
Yeah, we don't do that. We don't believe that our food travels very well, and so we just don't do it. And we learned a lot when COVID hit. So we were selling off of the street corner there, and yeah, it wasn't working. And so we moved back inside and called it good.
Yeah, the loyalty of the community really was what got us through that, and then being able to reanalyze.
Yeah, you got your standards, you know. Where did the recipes come from, Mark?
I made them. A lot of them's classic dishes, too, so it's just what you do with it, you know. And so we changed things up, and we're working on making some changes with the restaurant. We're going to open earlier because I think change is happening right now. We have a lot of people moving here, so we're going to open up at 3 o'clock and start serving early dinner.
I mentioned the huge meatballs is one thing you're known for. What is the dish or two dishes that you really... made your name there at Garibaldi's? What is the top seller, and what do people talk about word of mouth about what dish?
Well, over the years, a lot of things have changed. So you move around and keep things exciting. We were always known for our seafood. I would purchase lots of fish. And so now I've moved on to steaks. We always had some steaks, but we're really kind of emphasizing on it now.
Let's go to the phones. Folks, you want to talk about, it's my favorite topic, Mark Slade.
Food.
Oh, I love it. 775-884-9910. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling in with a question for Mark and Slade of Garibaldi's in Carson City. Go ahead, Jeff.
Do you ever make porchetta?
I do some pork dishes, but porchetta, no, I haven't made that.
I told Craig that if we could persuade you to make porchetta, I want you to have my number so you can text me or call me and tell me when it's going to be on the menu. Oh. I will definitely come down there for that.
Okay. I'll look into it.
Jeff, okay.
Go ahead. No, what's your question?
What is porchetta? I don't know what you're talking about. What is it?
It's pork belly rolled into a tube, I guess, you know, because you got to say, that's why it's hard to get anybody to make it. They got to take the whole pork belly, you roll it like a roast and tie it with a string, and then you cook it, and it's cooked. Meat is pull it with your fork tender, and the skin is chicharron crunchy. So you got this soft and yummy thing, and this crunchy, yummy thing, and I go all the way to Lodi for it when I can, because it's served over polenta with... and I asked for double gravy, and it's just, you know, every time we have to go to California, we bend our trip through Lodi. I gotta have it.
Mark, make this porchetta.
That pork belly.
Pork belly. What Jeff, thanks for calling. We're going to let you go.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thanks.
All right, well, you know, you got your standards. If you can't do it 110%, I guess you don't do it. What about pizza? Yeah, pizza, right?
We used to do pizza.
You don't do pizza.
I was Flying Pig Pizza. You remember that restaurant?
Let me think. I came here in 78, and I left town in like 1983, and I came back in the year 2000.
Opened Flying Pig in the old Nick's Pizza area, and I did it a year, and then I was supposed to do another remodel on the old Garibaldi building, and the recession came. And so things changed.
Wow, I thought pizza was like the most popular thing at an Italian restaurant.
We're going to start doing calzones. So that's one of the new things we're going to start doing, along with opening early. And we're going to give it a real twist. And Slade's going to give it a real twist with hand-done cocktails. He'll tell you more about that.
Oh, Slade, tell me about your hand-drawn cocktails, my friend.
I think our most famous one is our old-fashioned, because a lot of my things that I know are from my grandpa. He was 12 years old, Sicilian, from Paloma, came over and just started grinding. And so I was always infatuated with the man. I would always, every time I was at his house, I wasn't trying to play with all the cousins. I was watching what he was doing, and he's that old school grandpa. So we would have, some wine for Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I remember I was 14, and he looks at me and he tells me to come over here and teaches me how to muddle a true old fashioned. And, the real cherries and sugar and all the love that goes into it. And so he shows me and he lets me try it for the first time. And of course I was like, oh my gosh, this is horrible.
High octane bourbon.
So now, older, loving the flavor of it, but it comes from my grandpa, the original muddle and all the fresh fruit and nice, premium whiskeys and bourbons.
Do you guys do anything tableside service?
No, we don't have a lot of space for that.
Oh, yeah?
We would love to, but...
Oh, sure. Well, I don't begrudge the pizza decision because pizza's confusing, to me now. It's like, what kind of pizza do you want? And Pizza Hut started this trouble when they gave you a choice between the thin or the thick pizza crust, and now a Chicago-style pizza or Detroit style or flatbread pizza. There's a place on Virginia and Plum that does India style pizza. I don't. What can you recommend for somebody who does expect pizza at Garibaldi's? You have the calzones coming out. What are some of the other dishes that would please the palate of a pizza lover?
Well, we do a lot of Italian dishes. And breaded pork and veal, customized steaks, different sauces. So there's quite a bit to choose from, And we're more of a high-end restaurant.
Every single thing he does, all sauces made fresh to order other than the marinara.
You say high-end, Mark, but I looked at your menu online.
Here. I'm not high-end priced.
appetizer for $5.95? How can you be high-end?
You got to have a couple cheap things.
for people like me. All right, we're going to take a break. One more segment with Mark and his fellow chef and server and bartender, Slade. At Garibaldi's, we're talking food here, folks. If you have a question or a recommendation or an endorsement of Garibaldi's in Carson City, number to call 775-884-9910. One more segment with Mark and Slade up next.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Slade's last name is Siciliana, so it doesn't get any more Italian than that.
We need to talk.
In a somewhat friendly manner.
So make the call.
A colorful call.
884-9910. News and talk. Live and local. The weekend. On News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. And we're with, they're in Carson City by microphone. We have owner Mark Claypool and his number one server bartender and the man behind the Atomic Supercharged Old Fashioned is Slade. And it's a bit of a celebration here because Garibaldi's in Carson City is celebrating 30 years as a restaurant, and is a huge accomplishment. But also, this is the restaurant that brought back, that started the rush of restaurants in downtown Carson City. So we are very thankful for that. Mark, Slade, how are you celebrating 30 years at the restaurant? Is there an anniversary special or special drink, Slade?
We haven't quite discussed that, but at the same time, I really think that the Italian margarita would fit that perfectly.
Yeah.
What is an Italian margarita? What's in it?
That is going to be your fresh citruses. It's going to be the lime, lemon, and orange, and with tequila. shaken up. But then we do a little add with a little sweet and sour, of course. Also, we add amaretto and then top it with Grand Marnier. So it's a whole different drink that just goes down easy.
Slade, how did you start on the bartending drink mixing path? What's your history?
So my whole family, my history is restaurants and bartenders, to be honest. My dad's a chef. My mom's a bartender. My grandpa's a chef and owner. So I kind of just grew up in the industry all the time, and my grandpa would do this thing, and my parents would, just because I was in their restaurants, nothing was free. I had to go bus, go serve, go cook, go talk, go do something, and then I can have whatever I wanted. And so I think that was a good baseline of all where that came from, really. I learned it all from a young age, and I just kept running.
There's a lot of pleasure, too, in making people happy
right.
with your creations. I'm sure. I kind of wish. I'm envious. That must be a wonderful position.
It is really cool to hear, and I always go tell Mark when someone says it to me. I've been around the world, and this is one of the best dishes I've ever had, or this is one of them. I've been all around and tried these everywhere, and I can tell this is a great drink. Thank you so much. And to hear those, I always got to go give him that praise and let him know that it's there.
Owner Mark of Garibaldi's, and of course the chef too. Is this true? I was told that Garibaldi's, now 30 years, all started with $100 in your pocket.
I came to Tahoe, got off a Greyhound bus, and started working in restaurants, and I got a free education. And I'd like to say, John, we're going to try something very different. There's lots of dishes that have disappeared over the years, so we're going to go into the archives and pull things out and start running things that have been really popular in the past. You can't run them forever. And so we're going to come back with some old school things that we've done, and I'm sure our customers will be happy to see some of our stuff again, because there was a time in Tahoe I won first place with this smoked salmon eggplant crepe dish that I make with sun-dried tomatoes and sherry cream sauce, and that's coming back. And so it's just going to be a fun time. We're going to work real hard for the next few years. I signed a 5-year lease a year ago, and then Slade's going to try to move into the position, and I'm going to retire eventually. But I will still be around to help Slade out when he needs help.
That's great. You know, you talk about bringing back the old favorites. Slade, you want to bring back an old favorite? Mix up some Tom and Jerry's. Nobody makes Tom and Jerry's anymore.
Yeah. I don't even remember what that was.
I'll tell you what. You go to a thrift store, and you'll see all the Tom and Jerry bowls and cups because, those people have passed on, and their kids have taken their Tom and Jerry kits to the thrift store. Okay, so Mark, what old dishes in particular are you bringing back on the menu?
Well, like I was saying, that smoked salmon eggplant crepes, we used to do wild mushrooms, lots of veal chops, veal dishes. We're just going to explore and see what really works again.
Now, your seafood, you hear a restaurant serving seafood okay, and you just take things for granted. Apparently, you source your seafood. You apparently are extremely particular about where you get your seafood. Without giving away some secrets, we don't want the competition stealing this, but what is this process you go through for your seafood?
Well, I have a seafood supplier that supplies me with a good product, so that's about the best you can do.
And it's the best. Okay. Well, it's as simple as that, huh?
You get good seafood, it shows.
And the thing about him is he's very hands-on. He fillets the whole fish. It's all hands-on. I've learned so much of being able to see what fish actually is, and that was something I was super ignorant to. And
let me end this on the atmosphere for people who have never been in Garibaldi's. What's the atmosphere like?
Casual, upscale,
family love.
Do What's the color of the decor? What's the furniture? The lighting?
We're an all brick building, so the brick has all been cleaned and so it's all exposed, and it's red brick, so there's colors in it. We have black chairs, highlights.
Yeah. Booths?
No booths. We took them out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's cool.
We have a little lattice fence divider that like gives it that like, you know, Tuscany feel. We have it matches. It's actually, that's one of the comments when people walk in is like, wow, this place just feels like home.
Like Italy. Okay.
Yeah. And so, put where we're at, we're mm-hmm. right on old 395, right in the middle. I'm one block north of the Capitol building and a block south of the Nugget. So we're really directly easy to find. There's right. street parking. Carson City's a great town to wander around now if people haven't been here for a while.
Absolutely. It's turned into a
walking city. Yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm. love the lighting for mm-hmm. Christmas out there.
Oh, God, it's great. It's
so cool.
It's gorgeous. Now, you still don't serve lunch, right?
No.
Okay. Hey.
That's why we're going to open earlier at 3 for early dinner.
All right. Specializing in dinners. Mark Slade, it was a pleasure talking with you, folks. Go join the celebration. Garibaldi's, downtown Carson City, 30 years. Yeah.
Thank you, John.
Thank you
so
much.
All right, Mark, good luck in your future. Hey, Slade, good talking to you. We're going to break for Fox News, and it's Open Topic. Phone lines open, 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local Saturdays, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1131.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk Truth.
Good morning. Welcome back, friends. John Potter, live and local on Saturdays, 9 to noon on these radio stations. There's been so much interesting, somewhat bizarre local news. I'm not able to really cover it all from the week. I wish I had more time. This came from posted by Channel 4 on Wednesday. I'm sure you heard about this since then. Washoe County is moving forward with a major upgrade that will reshape access to one of Northern Nevada's most iconic destinations. The Board of County Commissioners approved a capital improvement project worth just over $30 million to rehabilitate Washoe County Road 34. It's the main route into the Black Rock Desert and the annual home of Burning Man. Maybe Burning Man should foot the bill. I'm just, you know. The project is being funded largely through a federal grant. Washoe County will contribute about $2 million. You may say, how about spending $2 million helping actual Washoe County residents? What is Washoe County doing for roads for people who live here so they can get to work in homes? Why should our taxes not serve the people that Washoe County is supposed to serve? We have city streets that are full of potholes and cracks and are fixed with fill-ins and resurfacing, which lasts about as long as the tire retread. Personally, I am very happy us taxpayers, though, are footing the bill so people can go get high for a week. Any others? You agree? We do need to improve the roadway, and you should spend some money, folks, to improve the road to one of the world's largest orgies. This is important. Let's go to Kurt calling in at 884-9910, talking about traffic. And Kurt is bringing up, is this the connector to USA Parkway idea you're calling about, Kurt?
Yeah, I was. I'll just make one brief comment for you on the Burning Man thing is that that's the number one at the airport, number one traffic generator through the course of events that the area has. So it contributes a lot. How much it contributes to the roads, I don't know. But anyway, the Northeast Connector, I had seen the article or news story from KRNV. Now, you can correct me, but wasn't there a proposal during the last legislature of trying to get a toll road put in?
Right. The mayor of Sparks was really behind this. It would add the first actual toll road for everyday motorists in Nevada. And that's why the legislature just could not go through with it, because that would break apparently some bill or law that bans toll roads in Nevada. There are toll roads for like construction mining areas where those companies, it's their land, and so they do that. But publicly, no, I guess we can't have it until the legislature does some big move to change that restriction. Why? Do you want that? You want the connector, right?
I don't know enough about it yet, but I was going to ask questions in regards to, have they looked at doing a high-speed rail or a light rail?
Yeah, that's what I brought up. I mean, yeah. I appreciate your call, Kurt. They're holding this meeting, a public meeting, to discuss the potential. Kurt, you got something to do. I'll let you go. Potential new Sparks USA Parkway roadway connection. So the RTC of Washoe County is inviting residents to gather this coming Wednesday. It's going to be at Red Hawk to talk about solutions to the daily commutes between Sparks, Spanish Springs, and the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. And the meeting comes at a time when many residents are feeling the strain, to put it mildly, of relying on I-80 as the only direct link between growing neighborhoods in Sparks and one of the region's largest employment hubs, and that would be USA Parkway. And at this meeting, you can learn about the RTC Northeast Connector feasibility and alignment study to determine, number one, whether a new connector could meaningfully reduce congestion on I-80, number two, improve safety, and number three, offer residents and workers a more reliable way to move through the region. The answers are yes, yes, and yes. No need for the study, okay? Public meeting, though, is this coming Wednesday, December 17th, from 4 to 7 p.m., folks. 4 to 7. That's when all of us are stuck in the traffic on I-80 there, coming back to Reno. We don't get home till 8 o'clock. What the? Anyway, Kurt mentioned, I hope there's a train solution in this study, because it's hard to be stuck in the traffic on eastbound or westbound 80 from USA Parkway workers. And you're stuck there. You look over and you see these empty railroad tracks. I mean, am I wrong? Can't that be the solution right there? Commuter rail, you know, for the workers. The travelers on 80 can just get our highway back then. You know, I know there are Union Pacific tracks there, but 95% of the time, I don't see a train there. Maybe it's too simple. I don't know. Now, Route 34, this is big money, too. $30 million. $2 million, it's not just $2 million of our money, which works out to $200,000 per mile of repaired road to the Burning Man entrance. This $30 million, which I guarantee it's going to go up from there. That's just the first time they give the cost, right? $30 million for only 9 miles. And we pay, you know, they say, well, it's a bargain. We only have to pay $2 million. The federal government can cover the rest for, you know, however much. We pay federal taxes, and most of that federal grant money is coming from that, all taxpayer money, to fund the project. When they say the federal government's going to pay, no, that it's all of us then are going to pay to benefit Burning Man, which is a private organization. And we need to stop giving businesses grant money and interest-free loans to further their profits, especially an organization that claims to be all about radical self-reliance. Well, now, John, we get it back. What about all that money the burners are spending here in Northern Nevada? while they spend most of their money at Walmart and Costco and our supermarket chains and Sam's Club. How is supporting corporate America putting money in the pockets of locals? Most of that money doesn't stay here. $30 million for the path to Burning Man when the school district is facing a $12 million deficit due to lack of state funding. Make it make sense. County officials say the 9-mile stretch of Road 34 has seen significant wear over the years. Well, if it sucks to get out there, that's a good thing. They're self-reliant at the Burners. And I would think the rough, gnarly road would be part of the experience, man. Or how about fixing some of the really bumpy neighborhood streets instead? Although I do know that there are folks who do take County Road 34 on the way. They're not going to Burning Man. It is used to go to Pershing County. And 34 also, it's the route that ranchers, us locals, we take to get to visit the Black Rock Desert, the town of Via, and Sheldon, too. Ranchers and sportsmen up there use it. But even with that, if you look at the numbers, it's like 98% of the road use there is Burning Man on Road 34. They're thinking there's no way anybody could possibly use that road for any other purpose than Burning Man. But even so, if it really is in bad shape, they wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for Burning Man, right? But the thing is, I don't want to be a downer here, but the state is short on money for actual needs, and the road, from what I hear, is in still pretty good condition for its purpose, 48 weeks out of the year. And to me, it's like the litterers, is that a word? The Burning Man litterers who don't want to wait in traffic to smoke pot are causing Nevadans to spend money while Washoe County citizens are struggling here. You know the whole drill, to make ends meet, to afford rent or health care. But let's spend $30 million of its citizens' money to help rich tourists get to Burning Man. But sad to say, it's better when taxpayers' money goes to things that are not fun, like schools and police and firefighting that keeps people safe. How about a highway from, like we were just talking about, Spanish Springs to Reno? You know, those things are public services, like public safety and services and schools and roads, things that will actually benefit us, the local area. And I don't think Burning Man should need our tax money for their entrance. We want them to be the self-sustaining, self-reliant commune it claims to be. So there. Oh, I did, in researching this, I did find some amazing trivia. Did you know the Black Rock Desert is the furthest spot from a McDonald's in all of the continental USA? I'm John Potter, live and local. One more segment to go. Phone lines 884-9910, number to call. We'll hit on something else local next. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1148.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio, the original social media.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Her temperature 46 degrees in Reno. It's going to be a gosh darn beautiful day. As a gorgeous day for a radio show. I'm John Potter, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon on these radio stations. Another little piece of local news activity here. Important stuff. The Local Next Door app is, I check it now and then, and lately it's full of reports. Apparently now is the time of year where we get a lot of these. A lot of reports from neighbors about overnight car break-ins. And just this week, the Carson City Sheriff's Office warned everyone not to leave your cars unattended while warming them up. They say they have seen an increase in vehicle thefts and burglaries. Actually, it happens most every year this time of year. Vehicle burglaries are crimes of opportunity, and you should remove, they say, any valuables from your car and lock your doors. There is this culture of criminal entitlement. It's almost as if theft is a birthright that people believe they have the right or privilege to come to wherever you are and take your property. And we see it with these freaking monsters, whether they're teenagers, whether they're mid-level career criminals, but they'll come and they'll go up and down streets. They'll go through parking lots and they will get in every car they can. And sometimes we've seen this at apartment complexes where they just go through and they'll just break a window in any car to get in there and rummage around through your stuff, see what they can steal. It is a it's a noxious crime. It's wrong. It's intolerable. And the deal is sometimes, depending on the jurisdiction, it's like, yeah, well, we're trying, but, you know, we can't be everywhere. So I think the police are doing what they can. But I think there is this, we're not going to tolerate this attitude from law enforcement. And here's the thing. The Carson City Sheriff's Office doesn't get to make the laws. All the deputies can do is charge people, and then the dumb politicians and the dumb judges are going to turn them loose and put the thieves on probation. That's going to happen time after time after time. But just letting the world know that the people pushing the patrol cars around here are noticing this more is the reason for this press release. And that sends a message, I think, of encouragement. And I'd also like to point out these crimes, they don't affect just the victims. It affects all of us because we're all in this insurance pool together, right? So the more crap that's going on with the break in glass, our car insurance is just going to keep going up. And somebody's grandmother has got to try and call some glass company to get a new window for her car. That's what we're living in right now. Not in San Francisco, here in Reno and Sparks. And it pisses me off. Forgive me for being a crude mouth, but it does. It just pisses me off. And it's just effing wrong. It is effing wrong. And I recognize I sound like an idiot when I say what I'm about to say, but in all honesty, if I lived in an apartment complex that was hit, or if there were people going around doing crimes in my neighborhood, I would like get together with the people on the street and say, hey, we need a fire watch or something, right? We need to put together a roster. We need somebody out here walking around, looking around overnight, and here's the roster. You take the two-hour shift or whatever you want to do, and let's sign up. And like the parking lot at the apartment complex, I'm going to sit over here in the bushes. And tonight's going to be my shift, okay? I'm just going to sit over there, and I'm going to wait, and there's a point where you just want to say, hell no, you little bastards, get away from here right now. And if you insist on pursuing and pressing your criminal conduct against these people, you're going to get some pushback. So it angers me. I'm not yelling about it, but I feel it, and I want to send the message, we're in the game. You're not going to pull your crap here, and we're coming at you, and we're coming at you hard. And you hope somehow the word trickles down to the wannabe bad guys who just kind of say to themselves, man, we better not, go around over there because we're going to get in trouble now. It seems the politicians and the judges are just doing everything they can to help facilitate this criminal contact. And that's how it looks to me. But some of the ladies and gentlemen with badges and cars with the lights on top, we appreciate pushing back as hard as they can to the great benefit and the genuine service of people in this area. It is going to be a great day, damn it. I insist. It's going to be a great day. I'm sorry if I brought you down at all. But these are the emotions I feel when these local news stories come across the desk here. And a lot of it this week has been just outright ridiculous. Okay. And pisses me off. All right. Did I miss anything, Mr. Craig?
Nope. I think you've hit all the main points that you wanted to talk about today.
In other words, shut up.
No, not for another minute and a half. Hey, we did get a text from Randy. He says, John, if they want a better road to Burning Man, how about a $99.10 toll to use the road with funding going to the county?
You know what? And they would do it, and it would work just fine. You know, they are going to, no matter how bad that Route 34 is going or is now or is going to, they are still going to go to Burning Man, right? I mean, that's potholes are not going to stop these hordes from going out there. But anyway, it's up to us to spruce up that road so they can enjoy their all-day orgies and pot smoking and whatever. Have you been to Burning Man?
I have not. I have, as an Uber and Lyft driver, I did take people out there, but I've never been in there.
Boy, because when I looked at what they do there, I thought Mr. Craig would be there all year. All right. Enough of me. Folks, have yourself a great, it's going to be a great weekend, damn it. I insist. I'll be back next Saturday, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Merry Christmas, folks. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.